to continue on with Woman of God, part two. Last night we took a look at these core role responsibilities. We started to look at some of these things that we found in Titus chapter 2, and we identified that a couple of the core role responsibilities that God has entrusted to you wives was that of a husband lover and a child lover, and then the manager of the home. And so we're going to continue on in this journey a little bit. We talked last night about this suitable helper, this edzer kenigdo, someone who not only comes alongside and helps, but then also someone who from time to time gets in front of and even can be opposed to and can actually cause some struggle for the sake of keeping us in line, so to speak, or keeping us on the right path and helping us be who God designed us to be as husbands and men. So I want to dig right back into Titus chapter 2, and I think a good way to kind of get back into that is just to reread a few verses that we talked about last night. So I'm going to start and just read Titus chapter 2, the first five verses again, just to get us back into the context of this, and here's what God's word says. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home. That's what we talked about when we talked about managing the home. And then it went on to say this, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. So tonight, I want to take a look at what does it mean to be subject to your husbands. Another word for that would be the word submission. A very interesting concept for a guy to be up here teaching on, but I'm going to do my best, and hopefully we will all learn something throughout the journey here. So for a long time, in very simple terms, just going to be honest, for a long time I thought that the role of a husband, really simply put, was to lead, and that the role of a wife was to submit. It's hard for me to actually say that because I actually believe that is incorrect. A wife's role is that of being a helper and a lover, as we talked about last night, to her husband and her children. And I believe that submission is not a role. A better definition would be to describe it as a response. Submission is a response. Okay? The S word. Submission. Okay, submission is a wife's response to her husband's role, a response that frees him to carry out his role of what we talked about on Monday and Tuesday night of servant leadership. We talked about what it looks like to be a man of God who leads his wife and family and a man of God who loves his wife and his family. Submission is a Christ-like response that affirms your husband's role while encouraging him to lead, ladies. No word brings out more angst and defensiveness to a discussion on marriage than the S word, the word submission. Okay, I know that some of you ladies, when you hear the word submission, I know the picture that's painted in your mind when you hear that, because this is what our culture has painted submission to look like, okay? Okay, this is my wife. We were having fun. I don't even remember where this was at, but anyway, she got in the stocks and I took a picture, and so I don't even know if she appreciates the fact that I use that. What? No, that might actually be at Disney, but I'm not sure. I can't remember where I took it. I just was like, I need to use that as an illustration. Would you please? She was willing, so we'll, okay, there we go. We're done with that. All right. Okay. Still, the Bible uses this word submission. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." 1 Timothy 2:11 says, "A woman should learn in quietness and full submission." Oh, man. The more that I've dug into that, here's what that verse represents. This meant that a woman needed to show that her husband was the spiritual leader in the home. I have never heard a message or read a book that speaks of a believer's submission to Christ as something negative. I've not found that book yet. Yet this is exactly what has happened to the idea of wives submitting to their husbands. Okay? Submission means to get under and to help lift up or to put in order. It's this voluntary attitude of giving in, of cooperating, of assuming responsibility and helping to carry a burden. This voluntarily yielding of one's preferences to another. We read a few days ago out of Ephesians chapter 5, it said, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." Interesting way to finish that sentence. Here's what this means. Ladies, you can't say that I'm submissive to God and then be unsubmissive to your husband. Those don't work together. God's word says, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So, I want to take a look at this two ways tonight. The first thing I want to do is I want to talk about what submission is not, and then I want to take a few minutes and talk about what submission is as we try to put some handles on this. So first of all, submission is not inferiority to your husband, okay? That's not at all what we're implying. That's not what God's word implies. It is not inferiority to your husband. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. The same grace that saved your husband also saved you. Okay, so it's not inferiority to your husband. It's not losing your identity in Christ. Okay, you're the heir of the King. You are his child just like your husband. It is not losing your identity in Christ. Thirdly, submission is not losing your personality. Okay, this is a critical part of who you are. It's what caused you to fall in love with your husband, and it's what caused your husband to fall in love with you. It's not losing your personality. And then lastly, submission is not blind obedience to sinful or questionable activity. It is not checking your brain at the door, which is what our culture has painted submission as. It's not checking your brain at the door. Jesus is the ultimate Lord and Master. You see, a biblically submissive wife's focus is not enabling wrong behavior, but on empowering her husband to pursue right behavior. Here's the thing about that, guys. It's okay for your wife to ask questions when she would like some clarification or explanation as to what is going on. This lines up as what we talked about last night about what this suitable helper means. It's okay, ladies, for you to ask questions when you need some clarification in regards to what is going on in a scenario, in a situation with your husband. Now, ladies, here's the difference. Here's where there's a line there somewhere, and we all kind of know where it is because we all know in our heart the difference. There's a difference between asking questions and questioning, okay? I know that when I'm questioning, there's a difference in my heart versus when I'm really asking questions for clarification. There's a difference there. There's a heart motive difference. There's a line that we cross when that happens. So it's okay for you to ask questions, okay? So, if those are four things that submission is not, let's talk about what submission is. What is submission? Three ideas to get your hearts and minds around tonight. The first one is this: understanding your power. Okay, ladies, you have power in this relationship, probably a lot more than you realize. We'll talk a little bit about that. Understanding your power and using it in a way that builds up your husband's God-given leadership role. It's this voluntary decision to empower your husband's leadership. I shared with you the other night, some time ago, I was thumbing through the Sunday paper and I came across an ad in the paper on a skating championship event that was happening near our hometown. And I don't have any interest in figure skating, okay? Nothing against any figure skaters in the room here. I don't know if there are any. Please don't take that personally. I've just not been something that I've had an interest in. And when I went past that ad, all of a sudden, you know, the spirit was like, you know, your wife would really like to go to that thing, Ben. She would really enjoy that. That's something that would interest her. And we talked about considering the interests of our spouse, right? And I was like, oh boy, okay. So we planned the night. I planned it, bought tickets. We went to dinner. It was a great night because we spent time together. But there was something that happened that night during that event that did catch my attention. It's when the pair skating event occurred, okay? Now that caught my attention, because here's this guy and this gal, where this guy is spinning this gal around the ice, hanging onto her blades while her face is inches above the ice, okay? That got my attention. I was like, whoa, that's actually kind of cool. And I came to some conclusions very quickly while I was watching that. I thought, that is a very brave woman, okay? Why is that? Well, I'm pretty sure that's not gone perfect every time, okay? There's no way you just do that and it's perfect every time. And I'm sure that she had been dropped on an occasion or two or three, and I'm pretty sure that when that happened, it didn't feel good at all. And I thought, what a picture in marriage of that sometimes, right? Ladies, have the boldness and the strength. Be brave like this ice skater and let him lead. The reality is that he's going to mess up at times, right? When you got married, you knew you were marrying an imperfect person, okay? There's no question about that. He will mess up at times, and he may even drop you on an occasion. And honestly, it won't feel very good when that happens. But in the end, it can be a beautiful picture of Christ loving his bride. Like a real practical handle for this, something that I've heard people say over the years, and I've just kind of cringed when I've heard it, because I just feel like that does not empower your husband at all in his leadership role. Okay, ladies, I would just encourage you to stay away from comments like, "I told you so." That's not empowering at all to your husband. Or, "I knew it." Hey, I've heard that comment before. "I knew it." Okay, not empowering at all. May I just make a recommendation that maybe something like, "What can I do to help? How can I help you?" That's a very empowering comment to make to your husband. Okay, so understanding your power and using it in a way that builds up your husband's God-given leadership role. The second thing is this: it's a testimony of the richness of Christ. It's about living in a patterned routine, doing something with consistency and repetition that over time gains credibility and becomes a really, really strong testimony. There was a couple that came into my life and Jennifer's life while we were engaged, and then early on in our marriage, this couple was 15 years ahead of us in the process. He also was one of the pastors on staff at our church, and they sort of took us in under their wing and kind of showed us what it can look like when these roles are taken seriously and really played out, I would say, as well as I've ever seen them played out. Because after the test of time, this couple still has this thing when you see them. They still have this sparkle. This is Larry and Ann. Larry and Ann have played a really big role in my life and in Jennifer's life, especially in about the first 8 or 9 years of our marriage. And to watch Ann come alongside her husband, who is the total opposite of a type A personality. Is it like a B? Is that a B or a Z? I don't even know. But Larry's not type A. He's probably the most humble man I have ever met in my entire life. So he doesn't ooze leadership. He doesn't come across as real confident. But he's the kind of guy you want to have around, and he's the kind of guy you want to go talk to if you're struggling with anything, because he just loves on those around him. And to watch his wife come alongside and to help empower him in his leadership role and for him to embrace that was an awesome testimony and an awesome picture that God uses to paint to represent his love for his bride, the church. It's one of the best pictures of marriage that Jennifer and I have ever had the opportunity to be around. It's this testimony of the richness of Christ. Your consistency and pattern of life has great implications on the testimony that you give to Christ. The third thing is this: a place of contentment. Okay? Now, sometimes this is almost the hardest one to grab hold of. A place of contentment, right? It's this umbrella of protection, this place of safety. We've talked about the order of things, that the husband who's the head of the wife who manages the home, okay? And I shared with you last night that every guy, every husband in here is going to give an account for his wife, his marriage, and his family. And so submission is a place of protection for you ladies. I heard once a definition of contentment that I never forgot, and it was this. Contentment is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. Not having what you want, but wanting what you have. Ladies, are you content with who God has placed in your life in regards to your husband? You need to be. It's who God has put in your life. Are you willing to live God's way? Are you willing to be the woman that God calls you to be? Let me give you just a couple closing thoughts here. Wives, as your husband seeks to carry out his role, guys, as you seek to carry out your role, ladies, you have a choice to make. You can battle him for control, or you can help him by affirming his role with a godly response. And your response makes all the difference in the world. Understand the influence that you have over your husband. Over the course of the past year or so, Jennifer and I have had opportunity at our home church in Holland to teach a community group, okay? So a community group is, it's what you don't want to call Sunday school anymore, but it still meets before church in classrooms at church. So we call it community group, right? Then it doesn't have the stigmatism of Sunday school. I don't get that. When we came off of traveling full-time, and moved out of our trailer back into a house in Holland, and we were looking for a church to kind of land at. We thought we'd been gone for several years. Maybe this would be a good time for us to just kind of visit some churches in our hometown and then just land somewhere where we feel like we can really engage. And I can remember, God does have a sense of humor, okay? That's what I'm getting at with all of this. I can remember sitting with my wife and talking about things that we wished for or didn't wish for in regards to churches, okay? I don't know if that's right or not. There were two things that I said, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for in a church. Hopefully we'll know it when we get there and we'll just, you know. But I do know what I don't want. I said, I don't want Sunday school because it just sounds too old-fashioned, right? And I don't want pews. Stupid, right? I'm just like, this is how immature my mind is sometimes. So where did we end up? We ended up in a church that probably has more pews in it than any other facility in our town, and we ended up teaching a Sunday school class, okay? So I'm like, I get it, God. Like, I got to not get caught up in some of these things that really don't matter. So anyway, we had the chance. We taught this family builders class for about 2 years, and they pretty much left it wide open. I thought, family builders, what a great title. Man, that's wide open. We can talk about all sorts of stuff that impacts the family. And so for 2 years, almost every Sunday morning, we had the opportunity, and we would probably have 30 to 40 people that would show up for that class on any given Sunday morning. And there was a couple in that class that was struggling with their marriage. And I can remember not too long ago, hey, could we buy you dinner? You know, we just love to spend some time with you guys. This is what they were saying to Jennifer and I, and we just like to talk about a few things. And so we said, sure. And so we went and had dinner with them, and we're sitting at the restaurant, and I don't think I have ever seen or heard a wife throw her husband under the bus so many different times over the course of a conversation. It actually got to the point, by the time we started dessert, I was actually uncomfortable because I wanted to go, you know he's right there, right? He can hear what you're saying. And I felt so bad for this guy. And so it happened one more time, and I interrupted. I was like, I'm going to take a risk here. I'm just going to interrupt this gal. And I just said, hey, just as a form of encouragement to you and your husband, I would really just recommend that if it's possible for you to maybe not throw your husband under the bus so much. That's not helping empower your husband at all. And so I turned my gaze from her to him. And he looked right at me, and this is exactly what he said. I'll never forget this. He said, Ben, I live under the bus. And I was like, oh my goodness. So anyways, ladies, don't underestimate the impact that you have on this marriage relationship and the power that you have in influencing your husband. Okay? I'll never forget that conversation because he didn't even think about it. And he just was like, Ben, I live under the bus. That is not where God designed husbands to live. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes. If you're here with your spouse, I have something. If you're not here with your spouse tonight or you're single, I have something else for you to work on. But if you're here with your spouse tonight, here's what I just want to take some time to have a little dialogue, the two of you, tonight, because I know things can get busy and we can get home and kids are crazy and we put them to bed and then we're just tired and we don't really want to start some involved conversation, right, at 10 o'clock at night. At least us guys don't, typically, all right? So here's my challenge. We're going to do this right now. We're going to put our life into action, all right? Ladies, ask your husband what you can do to encourage him in his leadership role. Okay, now I'm going to say the same thing to the guys that I did to the ladies the other night. Guys, this is supposed to be a good, tender conversation. Don't whip out the list and say, let me tell you all the ways you haven't been encouraging me, okay, over the years. Let's not do that, okay? What can you do to help encourage him in his leadership role, okay? The folks in the back, they're going to turn a little music on to mask some of the conversations that are taking place. We're just going to do this for a few minutes to kind of get things started, and then you can finish it later, okay? If you're not here with your spouse or you don't have a spouse, take a few minutes to fill out your prayer card if you've not done that already, okay? Listen, there's no way that you've sat here all this week and God has not spoken to you about something regarding you and him, okay? I have a really hard time thinking that you could come to church night after night after night and hear what you're hearing and God not say something to you about something that he wants you to do differently that would make you look more like him. Take a minute to fill out that prayer card. If you've not signed up for Home Life Cafe on Saturday, take a minute to fill that out, okay? Hand that stuff in when Ryan comes up and asks you to pass in your prayer cards. But let's just take a couple minutes and have a little conversation about this with each other. Okay, here we go. Cue the music. We'll let it go for just a few minutes here, and then I'll come back. We'll close.